Hi. Can see we've got Justine, Samantha, Angela. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. I'm just going to and Tash. Cool. So exciting. Welcome everyone. No way, I'm just gonna mute you all. You can hear someone driving around. It's cool that you can join us like that. And I'll just wait a moment just to make sure we've got everyone and make sure that our beautiful guest can join us, has joined us as well. Hi, Nay. I'm excited you can join us as well. I'm just waiting on our beautiful guest hasn't quite joined us yet, but it is only 1 minute past six, so that's okay. How are you going, Naomi?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. I'm excited to share Tanya with us today.
I can't wait to.
Yeah, thanks for your beautiful questions that you added in the Facebook group as well.
That's all right. I'm sure more will come, but that was a burning one.
Yeah, great. I think she enjoyed seeing some of those questions in the email as well.
Ah, good.
I can't believe we're getting so close towards the end of our year together.
I know, it's gone so quickly.
Yeah, for those of you joining us, we're going to be emailing you this week probably with information about next year and some exciting, a few exciting little things actually. Hey, Nay.
Yep.
Yep.
Big email coming your way soon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been such an incredible year being able to connect with everyone in such an intimate group and really explore what gentle business can look like for all of us. I've found it so inspiring and special.
Even better than we could have imagined.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to check something. But it looks like we have a call-in user, so I might just check if that is our beautiful guest. Tanya, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for inviting me for tonight.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to chat with you and introduce you to everyone.
Yes, it's very exciting.
Yeah. I know that you're such a busy woman, so I really, really appreciate you being able to share some of your with us tonight.
No problem at all.
So we'll get straight into it. To start with, a little bit of housekeeping for everyone who's on the call. You'll see a little an option for a chat box where you can type in questions and connect with everyone in that way. Naomi's just typed in, "Hi everyone." As you've dialed in, Tanya, you might not be able to see those, but I'll keep an eye on them and ask any questions that come in.
Okay,
as well.
No worries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get into it. I feel like
I'm okay. I'm ready.
Yay.
Yep.
So to begin with, would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself and the work that you do with Little Window and mm-hmm. what's bringing you to
yep.
your work at the moment?
Okay, well, I'm a psychologist and I founded Little Window with my business partner, Christina, who's currently gone on maternity leave. We started the business in 2014 and we wanted to set up a practice that felt very different to other organisations and private practices that we have previously worked within. We are both quite creative in the way that we work with people. So both of us have training working with children who, from really little, and we do play-based and creative-based therapies with them. And we also work with teens and a lot of adults too now. So I guess we were inspired to start Little Window as a way to feel like we were working in more alignment with who we were as people and not feel like we were restricted or governed by corporate culture or management that may not have previously understood the kind of work that we felt passionate about. Yeah, I think it's been very challenging, but it's also been hugely rewarding. So we have a lot of freedom and independence in choosing how we want to work with people, and that's been the most important aspect, I guess, having that flexibility to choose. And we also get to choose the team that we work with as well, which is hugely important to us. It makes a big difference to how we feel when we're going to work. So it often doesn't feel like work. I mean, it can get very very draining at times, and we find that it's not the client work necessarily that tires us, but it's more the management of teams and processes and that kind of thing that's difficult. But we often joke about Little Window being our hobby, because it's, you know, it doesn't always feel like work when I'm doing things like working on the website or coming up with content for social media. That kind of stuff is really fun to me. And I also get a big kick out of seeing how clients respond to the space that we've set up as well, because I feel like we've had complete freedom in doing that exactly how we want as well. So there's a lot in it that is really rewarding for us.
Yeah, wow. Oh, it's such an incredible space. I loved going along to the opening of your new place, and it does feel so warm. Even when I went to your old place as well, you've always set up really homey spaces where you walk in and it's quite, the temperature's always warm and comforting, and there's essential oils on, and there's raw chocolate, and there's different herbal teas. And you just feel you're in a big, beautiful, warm embrace the moment you walk in.
Yeah, that's lovely feedback. And I think that's what we're always hoping people to feel when they come into the space, is a non-sterile environment. Most other practices that I've worked in or been to myself have been quite clinical and quite bland. So we wanted to create something very different.
So was that a scary thing if you had both come from working in those environments before? Was this really new and a bit daunting in the beginning?
Yeah, I don't think we had that much time to really think about the scary part, because once you jump in, things start happening quite quickly and you just go into more action mode, if anything. And we were lucky because we both had other part-time jobs at the time, so it didn't feel like, I mean, it was, you know, we took a leap in signing a three-year commercial lease, which is a really huge responsibility. It's not cheap. And then we spent a bit of money with setting up the space, but we had a lot of support around us to do that. I think, you know, once I left my other job and I was doing Little Window full time, there was a bit of fear around keeping the business going and having enough referrals. So that sometimes felt a bit daunting. Being responsible for your own income can feel, it can be quite stressful, I think. And then, you know, if you've got a partner or people who rely on you for income too, I think them being understanding and knowing that you're not going to have an income for a while is a big part of it too, because when you start your own business, you are you're not really even breaking even for a while, in our, from our experience anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I actually didn't know that you both had part-time jobs when you started.
Yeah, yeah. So Christina was working at a hospital working with pain management clients, and she also had started her own little side business, which was going really well. So that, I think that gave us the confidence to keep that going, but join together to make a bigger private practice. And then I was working in a separate private practice, but only a couple of days a week. So I think, yeah, we didn't completely start without anything else on the side. But then we eventually phased that out. I think for me, Christina had a client base already, so she was there at Little Window full time before I was. I think it took maybe a few months, and then I just decided to completely let go of everything else and put everything into Little Window.
Yeah, amazing. Wow. It's from chatting to other people that have done something similar, it really sounds like for a lot of people that having that part-time job in the early stages can really take the pressure off, kind of, to kind of,
yeah,
like you said, make it a hobby and build it up.
Yeah, that's right. I think having that as a backup, it just feels a bit safer in some ways. But then, you know, at some point you do have to take the jump and just make the conscious decision, okay, I'm going to put 100% into this now, and that's where everything's going into, rather than trying to spread your energy, which then you don't feel like it's really getting off the ground if you're distracted and focused elsewhere.
Mm. So how did you know? How did you know when it was the right time to make that leap?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm trying to think back. I think I noticed that at my other job, I just constantly wanted to be at Little Window. Like, I felt like it was a second home to me, and I felt like I was missing out whenever Christina was there and I wasn't there. So I just noticed that I did want to, even though I wouldn't get paid as much if I completely left, I just wanted to put all of my focus there, and it felt really fun at the beginning too. It felt like we were, I don't know, like, well, it's always almost, because I was doing it with a good friend too, it felt like we're moving to a new share house together and we're buying furniture together. It was really exciting and fun, but it was very tiring too. But then, you know, I think the energy of that momentum of starting out was really appealing at the beginning. So I just wanted to be there full time, and once I was there full time, it just felt right. It felt more aligned, and then things can also, you know, the business can pick up a bit more because you're focusing 100% of your energy there.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. So, what's it like to work in a partnership with a good friend?
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot. It's definitely not always smooth sailing. I think we've often talked about our business partnership as being like a second marriage, and there were times in the early days, up until I went on maternity leave, we were seeing much more of each other than our own husbands and anyone else. So it's kind of like being immersed in a bit of your own bubble. So you just spend a lot of time together, and you have to make decisions together around how you divide finances and how you divide roles, because you each have quite different strengths as well and different things that you bring to the business. So I think that can be challenging sometimes if you're not communicating a lot. Like, there were periods when we got really busy and we didn't have as much time to check in with each other. So And there were things that were, you know, were not working. So sometimes I think when there's a lot of unspoken tension happening, it can build up and it can create that, yeah, it just doesn't feel like things are flowing anymore because there's something happening between the two of us. So we learned quickly, I think, to prioritize setting regular meetings to make sure we were checking in and asking how each other were and what our priorities were, because I think sometimes I think that this part of the business was important to focus on, then Christina would think a different part of the business was important to focus on. So we'd have to make sure we were on the same page, and also how we managed things were similar. And I think now we're in a really good place because we've put some other things in place since then when things were harder to help us be on the same page a lot more.
What do you mean? What kind of things have you put in place?
So we decided to, so we sought out a supervisor who we both go and see once a month for supervision and purely around how the business is being run. And I really feel like it is like marriage counselling because she's very good at, she's good at facilitating, how we're feeling and, this person's feeling this, but this person's feeling this. How do you move forward when you're stuck here? There was a period where, when I went on maternity leave, Christina, she was left to kind of hold the fort, and it was also a difficult time in the business, so she had to give up on the whole thing and let go of the business, and I had just come back from leave, so I was in a very different place. So our supervisor Penny really helped us move through that time, and so the business is very different to what it was back then. It's been a bit more sustainable for us to manage. So now that Christina's gone on leave, we've put some other things in place, like having a practice manager to support with things, so that I'm not in the same boat that Christina was in when I was on leave. So we've just learned along the way what we need to do to support each other and to protect ourselves, protect our energy, because it's very easy to burn out, I think, when you're pouring everything into this thing, and then everything else in your life can fall away when you've just got that one focus. So I think we're in the process of trying to attain more balance in our lives.
Yeah, beautiful. Wow, I love the sound of that. That you go off to essentially couples counseling once a month.
Yeah.
To really check in business. Yeah. And stuff. So
Yeah, and we also just make sure that we're always saying, well, how are you feeling about the business, and how are you feeling about the business, because it's not always the same. And we have different ways of working too. One person might have more energy to work at some point, and then, the other person might want to step back. But I guess it's always about, communicating around how you're feeling, so that resentments don't build and you don't get confused about what the other person is doing.
I know you can't see the chat box, so I just wanted to share a couple of comments. Justine has mentioned that this conversation is so relevant. She's just done her tax for art therapy work, which she does one day a week, and it's so depressing. I'm not making a lot, and my other job is my top tax bracket work, and means I now owe the tax person $2,000, so she's considering stopping.
You don't, at the beginning it's it can feel like that, the momentum is really slow at the beginning. I definitely felt that too. There were times, for at least the first 6 months, I'd have one or two people that I was seeing, and just wondering if it was ever going to pick up and if I was ever going to be able to make income from it.
Yeah, wow. And then the next thing she said was that that burnout is real in small business, especially in mental health therapy work. And she really loved the idea of supervision.
And I also started going to my own therapy, which has helped a lot too, because it's challenging, but I think practicing what we preach in terms of self-care. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't feel like I'm always very good at maintaining balance and looking after myself, because you do, I mean, I guess if you're drawn to the mental health field, you might have that tendency to put other people's needs before your own all the time. So that can become a bit of a problem where you burn out because you're just so used to doing things and saying yes and, you know, fitting in clients and then forgetting about your own needs as well. So the burnout is really real. And then on top of that, you've got all the other business aspects that you have to manage that don't go away, like bookkeeping and, you know, managing stuff, all the stuff that we really don't enjoy.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you have different strengths and you love doing the website stuff and social media and that kind of thing. Does neither is bookkeeping and that kind of boring stuff, is that not a strength of either of you?
No, it's it's really shocking. Yeah, I mean, I remember when our practice manager started at the beginning of this year and she was pretty appalled by the lack of processes we had in place for, you know, bookkeeping and accounting. And she sort of did a rehaul of all our processes, which is exactly why we hired her, because we don't have an interest in it. And we knew that there were things that could be done a lot better. Yeah, so we tend to do the more fun things like decorating or things that don't necessarily, you know, bring you income in. But I think, you know, definitely our husbands have been very frustrated with us in the past few years. Like, you know, what are your numbers? You know, what are you earning, and how do you know, how much you need to have in your account all the time? And we'd always just, you know, it just wasn't a focus of ours, but it should have been. You know, I guess we learned the hard way that having someone to come and help you do that stuff and even do it for you if you don't want to do it yourself makes a big difference to how you run your business as well.
So do you wish you had delegated in that way earlier on, or were you at a point at that stage where you couldn't really hire someone to do that, so you just kind of had to fumble your way through it until this point?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we definitely could have and should have maybe connected with an accountant earlier on in our journey. But we had our own individual ones, and we did definitely fumble our way through. But I think when the business expanded, we thought, well, it's time to just get a bit more serious about this now. But I think if we'd had a bit more advice from the beginning, it might have just, yeah, I think it might have just given us a bit more clarity and helped steer us better from the beginning, because that part always felt a bit like a mystery to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our theme at the moment, money and financial health.
Yes.
Mastermind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm one of those people who just completely zones out whenever anyone talks about taxes or GST, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
So how has that changed for you now? How do you guys know that you can afford to pay your staff and the venue and all that stuff?
Yeah. Look, it's still a work in progress. Yeah. We have purchased a bookkeeping, we've purchased Xero. I don't know if anyone else has heard of it, but it's apparently one of the better programs to use for payroll and reconciling and VAS statements and all that kind of thing. So we finally did that this year, and we've got one of our admin team on top of that, and we've changed our accountant and they specialize in small businesses. And so we've got a better idea of how much, I guess, we're spending each week, and also how much the wages are that are going out each week as well. But there's still a lot of work to do in that area, I think. you know, we're still refining the process because it's been a big year for us. It takes a long time to actually get a process underway. You can talk about it and then, you know, and then a month later it gets executed, and then it just takes a long time to get things as part of like an a running smoothly, I guess, and having everyone knowing how it works.
I'm finding it so comforting to hear you talk about this, because in one sense it's always changing and growing, isn't it? You always need new systems, mm-hmm. and you always need to refine things, and there's always more work to do in that.
Yeah, I suppose. That's right. Yeah, and I don't think I'm trying to be more interested in it, because I know it's important, but it is challenging, because it's just not how my brain works, and it's not my area of interest. But then I think if you decide to become a business owner, it just comes with that responsibility, and you have to you have to take it on, I guess.
So how did it work for you guys for you to be able to take maternity leave, and Christina now to be able to take maternity leave? How do you make that work? We had someone really
Facebook group. Yeah. I think, you know, I was the first one out of the two of us to fall pregnant, and we didn't plan it in this way that I would go and, you know, we would take turns or anything. We joked a lot about, oh, let's both go and leave at the same time and just get someone to run the business for us. But then it didn't turn out that way. And I think I'm glad. Yeah, we're really glad that it didn't, because the business was still very, was still establishing itself when I went on leave. And if Christina had gone at the same time, I don't think it would have survived. It really needs one of us here to anchor how things are run. Even now, I think, if I was gone now, it would struggle. I don't think we were very realistic about how hard it would be for Christina when I left. The reality of it, I think, hit after I'd gone. And it was really challenging for Christina. She felt like... you know, we'd started this really exciting adventure together, and then when I left, she kind of didn't feel like doing it anymore. That's how she described it to me. She wanted to be on maternity leave with me, and she felt like, I think she felt a bit lonely, because even though there are other people working there with us, no one else no one else is there caring about the business as much as you, who owns it. So I think it did feel like a big loss for her, and that was a pretty tough year for her. So when I came back, I think that's around after about 6 months after I'd been back, the business started to pick up a lot in terms of referrals, just because it had reached that threshold, I think. And then when Christina fell pregnant, we were much more prepared for what we needed to do, for next time, so that the other person wasn't left just sort of holding everything. When I left, we just hired a receptionist as well for the first time, and we had a couple of staff changes. So it was a lot of work for Christina. She was doing everything. But now it's a completely different business. So, if I go and leave now and Christina's not here, we've got our practice manager who's been here with us almost a year now. So she can do a lot of the things that only the two of us previously could have done. I mean, it's still not the same, because again, like, no one else will invest as much as you into your business as you. So there are always little things that they don't do that you would only do for the business. But I think we have to learn to let go a little bit as well. We're very particular about the way things are run, about the way, you know, our team members are trained and the way that we practice here. So we feel like we've had to be very grounded in the space to be able to keep things running in that way, to keep the integrity of the business there. But I think, I mean, I feel I'm quite busy with clients at the moment, but I don't think I feel the same way as Christina felt when I left initially, because we put a lot of supports in place so that it doesn't happen like that again. Mm-hmm. And the way that things have worked out in terms of timing, you know, I'm not ready to go off yet and have a second baby. So I think it might work out that when Christina's back, then I go and leave if things go to plan. But if we happen to both go and leave in the future at around the same time, I think by then the business will be strong enough to keep going the way it is now. That's what we're trying to set ourselves up for anyway.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, so you've got so you've got other therapists in there, you've got a receptionist, you've got your practice manager, and that way you know that you'll both be in a position to be earning a bit of money and the business still going along without you having to have your own clients and everything. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I still have a full caseload at the moment, but I'm hoping that next year it'll be a bit quieter for me in terms of how many clients I'm actually seeing, and I'll have a bit more time to step away. Mm-hmm. But I think realistically, even when I'm not seeing as many clients, I'll still be doing a lot of other things too, because I can't help myself. So yeah, I'm always, you know, like doing things for Little Window when I'm on my days off as well. You just have that, yeah, you just always want to sort of be plugged into it that way.
Justine was asking before as well, she's wondering how social media has assisted business growth in mental health, when you can talk about the work but not specifically casework. Interested to hear what has worked. And she also said she had some questions from her hubby when it comes to money stuff.
I really enjoy the social media side of things. I think it's a great way to destigmatize going to therapy. Mm. And we've actually had a lot of people contact us to book in a session after seeing us on Instagram. So, or Facebook. So I think it's been quite successful this year. Previous to this year, I didn't put a lot of energy into it, but I think we redid our website towards the end of last year and second half of last year, and that really picked up. And then I noticed myself, like, more and more that, you know, the advertising that was working on me was through Instagram. I don't really watch TV or anything like that or listen to the radio, so if something's going to grab my attention, it's usually on Instagram. So I started investing a lot more time and energy into posting on Instagram, and I also enjoy doing that as well. So I think that's really picked up, and we've noticed as well that a lot of new clients coming through have seen us on there and like something about the way that we've written about mental health, or they like the look of the space, the therapy space, so then they've given us a call. And yeah, it's been quite a good way to market, actually. Probably the most cost-effective way to market, because previous to that we were trying to market ourselves to GPs. They're the ones who refer clients to us under a mental health care plan, and that didn't feel very good for us. You know, we had to bring them lunch and they wouldn't treat us with much respect, because they, you know, they get a lot of drug reps going in and buying them lunch every single day. So it didn't feel very, it just didn't feel like a good use of our time. We got some, you know, referrals through there, but I think word of mouth and social media have definitely been what's really picked up this year for us.
Wow. It's just a new world really, isn't it? For that space to be getting clients in that way.
Yeah, I don't think 4 years ago it was as, I don't know, maybe I didn't know how to tap into that as much 4 years ago, but I feel like this year it's really picked up for everyone, that way of marketing.
And so do you ever run, ads for the local, for sort of Brisbane?
Yeah, I've run a few. Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. So maybe every couple of months. I don't spend a lot of money. Sometimes it's only, you know, $50 or $60, and we might get two clients through that, but then we get a lot more followers and then people who follow us for a while before deciding to contact. Mm. So I don't spend a heap of money on it. Yeah, but I definitely do a few of those sponsored posts, and I find that they're quite effective. There was one that I ran earlier in the year just for couples therapy, and then after that we had just a whole big run of people ringing up for couples counselling, and then once I focus on other areas it just sort of died away. So I noticed that it did have quite a big impact.
Yeah, wow. It's I've always loved following you on Instagram, and I think you do share so much of what you guys are about in that way. I can imagine that it means you're probably attracting your ideal clients by doing it that way too. Have you found that the people that come to you really get you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they come in and they, you know, they might have been to other psychologists before who had a more clinical approach, or they didn't feel that as enriched by the environment. And I think what might be appealing to is they can see that we're just normal people as well. We share a bit about our business relationship and about ourselves and about who we are as therapists. And I think that's I've looked at other websites, and you don't really get a feel for who your therapist is on a lot of other web pages. So I think people want to know who they're coming to see, and there's safety in that. So I think that can help to attract people to making contact.
Mm. So how do you, this has come up a little bit for us in the mastermind. How do you feel about putting yourself out there to connect in that way? Do you ever feel vulnerable? Do you feel silly putting posts up about yourself? How do you deal with that stuff?
Yeah, you know what, I think because on my personal accounts I rarely share anything, and I don't really write much because I definitely feel a bit more uncomfortable. But as Little Window, I have a lot more, I don't know, I kind of think, well, people don't know whether it's Christina or I writing, so I feel a bit more confident because I'm a bit more anonymous in that way. And I'm writing as Little Window rather than myself. So I think it does allow me to feel more able to be open and vulnerable in that way. So I think it's been a nice creative outlet because it feels safe, but also I can try and be a bit more personable as well through that medium.
That's such a lovely distinction that you've set it up in a way that feels safe to share creatively and share in quite a
personal way,
without necessarily being from Tanya. So, So we've had a few comments come in as well. Justine said thank you. It's so interesting that the space is as important as the service. Steph, who's also a psychologist, she said 90% of her business is word of mouth. So I guess that just takes time, does it?
It definitely does, yeah. Because at the beginning, I mean, I think for the first, you know, 2 years or so, it feels like you have to work really hard for every single referral. But then once clients start talking about their experiences, or GPs, you know, get to know how you're working, it just starts to, build momentum. So I think, what are we now? So this is 4.5 years we're in. I think we noticed it really started like picking up in a big way towards the end of last year. So that would have been, you know, three and a half years in is when it felt like even if I stopped marketing now, we'd still get, you know, referrals coming in quite steadily.
It's inspiring and comforting, I think, to hear that, you know, if you just
keep
going. Yeah.
And if you know that you're doing good work, you know, people you know, people want recommendations for a good therapist, so they'll ask their friends, and that's the most, I think, secure way to to have clients come in to see you, because people have told them about you.
Naomi's asked a question too. She said she's curious. I noticed that you do Skype sessions, which isn't always an option for therapy. Do you see many clients online, and how do you find this?
It's not as common. So I have someone I speak to on Skype who's a supervisee. So she's a sexual assault therapist for children and teens. So I work with her once a month. She's based in Darwin. And I did last year have a lady who I was seeing face to face, but then she was away a bit. So we did a couple of Skype sessions as well. I think they do require a bit more work, because when you're sitting in a room with someone, you can use a lot of your body language and tone of voice, and you're right there to hold, you know, that person therapeutically, or to contain them. But I think when you're over Skype, sometimes there are technological issues or there's delays, and you feel like you have to try and work a little bit harder to convey, you know, what you're thinking or feeling towards that person. But I, you know, in my previous work, I've worked as a telephone counsellor, and I feel like, yeah, telephones actually feels more intimate than Skype for some reason, I think.
Wow.
I don't know why. I think it feels more comfortable, maybe because I've had a lot of years of experience with telephone counselling. But, yeah, when you're looking at someone on a screen, it just, I don't know, there's something that is different to when you're just speaking on the phone or when you're with someone in person.
Yeah,
but I don't do it very often. Yeah, we've got our principal psychologist, Di. She did a few Skype sessions with a girl in Japan for a while, and they were really creative. So she'd draw things and use worksheets on the Skype sessions, and they draw together on Skype, and they did things like that. But I've never worked with a child over Skype before, so I think that would be quite challenging.
Yeah, wow. Oh, that's cool. So when it does come to your clients, do you have boundaries about the type of clients that you work with?
Do I have what, sorry?
Do you have any boundaries in place around the type of clients that you work with?
Do I have preferences about who I see, do you mean? Is that what you mean?
So the person that shared this in the Facebook group gave an example of her friend, I think, who from memory is a psychotherapist and doesn't she was getting a lot of clients who had particular issues that she didn't really want to be working with, so she was kind of trying to change her marketing or what she needed to do to attract the right person. And do you find boundaries in place at the window?
I think most of the clients that I see now, I really enjoy working with. I used to see a lot more children, but I think once I had Ari, who's my two-year-old now, I felt like I needed to do something really different when I came to work. So I asked our admin team to stop referring as many children to me. I just wanted to work with adults and teens for a while. I think the advantage of having a team with quite a few therapists is that we all have different areas of interest. So if I don't want to take on a particular referral, someone else on the team will. And our admin team has, I guess, a little table there in front of them when they take intake calls or emails of, you know, what types of clients particular therapists don't want to see. And then they'll look for someone else on our team who specializes in that area or who is happy to see that kind of client. So for me at the moment, I'm pretty much happy to just take anyone, but I prefer working with adults and teenagers at the moment. And I think generally, I think most of the people on our team are quite happy with their caseload. I think the biggest factor for them is variety. So a mix of males and females and a variety of ages as well. I think if you're just doing the same type of issue all the time or the same age all the time, if you're just working with children, for example, it can feel a bit more tedious.
Mm. Yeah, wow. So you don't tend to get anyone that inquires where you would refer them to a different practice altogether. You tend to, between all of you, you tend to be able to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the only exception to that, and we haven't had that problem, is if we were asked to work with sexual assault perpetrators. I think that would compromise the sense of safety for a lot of our clients who are victims of sexual assault. So I think, well, we've never actually had that kind of referral come through yet. We've had some random ones here and there who have been referred by their GP who are, you know, mandated to come because of parole conditions and that kind of thing. But it's quite rare. I think most of the clients that come through are really motivated to be here and, and fit the clientele of, I guess, who we're marketing as well.
Yeah. I had never considered that. That would be someone you would need to work with, actually.
Yeah.
And so you've talked a bit about your team throughout the chat. How did you grow that team? How did you know it was time to hire your first extra person? And what advice would you give to people that are looking to grow their team?
I think it's been the steepest learning curve for us.
Really?
How to find the right person. Yeah, I think, well, when we started, our principal psychologist, Di, she's been with us pretty much from the beginning. We knew her from previous workplaces. She's been practicing for decades, and she's really works in line with how we practice. So we knew of her already, and we tried. You know, we thought let's poach her from where she's working now and approach her and see if she'd be interested in working with us. So we had her in mind from the very beginning to perhaps even be a bit of a team leader, in a team leader kind of role, if we did happen to go on maternity leave. So we had that in mind. So she came on board when we had enough referrals to give to her, and she built up really quickly. She has clients who follow her from other practices. So she brought a lot of business in. She was really excellent for Little Window, and I think she's, you know, played a big part in building our good reputation, because she just does such excellent work. She goes above and beyond for her clients and provides really, you know, really good, she's a really excellent practitioner. And she provides supervision to all of our new therapists who start as well. So we're really lucky to have her. And then I think we had a couple of other people on who we knew from previous workplaces or were friends of colleagues and that kind of thing. And then we started actually advertising for people as well that we didn't know. And we had to learn, because I think we were very over accommodating at the beginning. We wanted to make sure they, you know, had everything they wanted in the role. We wanted to make sure they were really happy in the team. And we've come a long way from that, because I think when we did that, we were meeting their needs, but they weren't necessarily meeting the practice's needs. So, you know, they would be choosing how many days a week they would work, and, you know, if they were only with us for one day a week, we found that didn't work either. We realized that to have a cohesive team, it works better if someone's here at least 3 days a week. So then we started to make that a bit of a rule for future people that we hired, that, you know, if you want to, we wanted to create a team where people were here a bit more, so that they felt grounded in the space and could connect with the other team members and attend team meetings and that kind of thing. And we found that sometimes people took advantage of us being over accommodating as well. So we're a bit clearer with what our expectations are now when we go through the recruitment process. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, personality. Someone can look really excellent on paper, but if their fit isn't right or their values don't really align with how we practice, it just doesn't work. So that's been something that we've, you know, had to be really careful about as well. We've worked with people who have ended up not doing the right thing by us all the time, and or just haven't felt like their personality hasn't really fit well with the rest of the team. So when we interview now, we're really looking for not just how they practice, but who they are as a person, and how they'll fit with the rest of us, with the rest of the team.
Yeah, wow. I love that.
It's not easy though. You know, sometimes you don't know what someone's going to be like until they actually start working with you. So yeah. It's definitely comes with its challenges. It's a challenging part of running a business is making sure that there's the right people on the team and making really difficult decisions if they're not.
I can imagine I can only imagine that it's a little easier if there's the two of you to kind of chat amongst yourselves and go, right.
Particular
issue.
Yes. And we've often, you know, sometimes when it has felt really overwhelming, we've fantasized about just going back to the two of us because things were a lot simpler back then.
Angela's asked, she just said, do you find that you attract more women clients due to your softer marketing and how your website looks, i.e. with your environment, therapy, etc.?
I think when we first designed the logo and the name, we thought, oh, we're definitely going to attract mostly women. But we found that we have quite a lot of men, males coming through. I think generally more females tend to seek out therapy more than men anyway, but we do get quite a lot of males, and they specifically, they're either looking for a female therapist or they've found us online and they say, oh, I really want to come somewhere that feels different or is a bit more nurturing. So we were surprised at how many males booked in to see us, and we still get quite a lot. So I think that appeals to males, having that nurturing, welcoming environment more than we initially thought, which was interesting.
Wow. And Steph has said she's looking at Little Window on Instagram, and it is so lovely.
Thank you, Steph.
She said, what a wonderful place to work and be a client of. And you have a Japanese spitz. Is that a dog? I'm guessing.
Yes. That's our practice manager's therapy dog. So he's here 5 days a week with her.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And is that the dog that does he do a bit of therapy work as well?
Yeah, so he does the animal assisted therapy with Kira. So he's there for all the sessions that Kira has with her clients. And even if she's not doing specific, you know, activities with him, he's just lying there on the floor or on the couch or on the client's lap. And he likes to interact with some people in the waiting room. So a lot of people seek him out, even if they're not Kira's client. So he's very gentle. He has a really nice, it's really lovely to have him here with us. You barely notice him. He's very quiet. He blends in with some of our rugs as well, so I forget he's there sometimes.
Steph is saying that she has one too. You don't see many of them, and she said,
I think people who love those types of dogs, they really love them.
She also said that they're notorious for barking at strangers, but it doesn't sound like Zumi barks at anyone.
Zumi's never barked at anyone. He's a bit more wary of men, but he's never barked at anyone. I've never actually heard him bark in the whole year that he's been here.
That's incredible. And do you have any tips? Mm. Steph mentioned that Luna, it takes Luna a few minutes to settle every time a client arrives. Do you have any tips? I guess
Amy's sorry, can you say that again?
She said it takes her dog a few minutes to settle every time a client arrives.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I have two dogs at home and they would be terrible therapy dogs. They just bark and bark and bark. Yeah.
Yeah, great. we did have another question from the group as well. I'd be curious to know if you have any advice for folk who are experiencing mental health challenges, chronic illness, et cetera, and running a business. Mm. I know from work with clients that this can be especially challenging, taking care of themselves, but still needing to keep the business afloat and pay the bills, working through the fog of it all and the challenges that accompany those who are especially less established businesses. I know it's a big question and the context is specific, but do you have any advice or tips around this?
Yeah, and so that's if, you know, you're the business owner and you also have some mental health stuff or chronic health issues going on and you're seeing clients, is that right?
Yeah, and not necessarily, not necessarily a coach or a therapist, I guess. It could be anyone in business. And trying to get the business up and running, but also running into some of those challenges.
Yeah, I think I think, you know, Christina and I have talked a lot about our own mental health through this whole experience, and there are a lot of sacrifices you have to make to be in your business 100%. I think especially for the first 5 years, you know, everything sort of relies on you being there. So we've definitely, I'm not going to lie, it's been very challenging, and often we have wondered what our lives might feel like or look like if we hadn't started Little Window as well, because when your headspace is there all the time and, you know, you do have to work really long hours, your self-care can really go out the window and your other relationships can suffer. And we've had periods of times, and, you know, for me, this is one of those times at the moment where I'm, you know, Christina handed a lot of her clients over to me, and we've had a lot of stuff happen with our team lately. So it's almost like you forget to know how to have fun because you're just constantly plugged into working, and it can become a bit of an addiction even when you've got your own business, I think. So I've had to take steps, you know, recently I'm going to delete my work email accounts from my phone for a few weeks and just give myself a break from constantly checking. So if I have to check my emails, I have to go onto my laptop. It's a bit more of a mindful decision to do that. And even the social media stuff, you know, like it's addictive anyway, but then when you feel like it's work and it's working, you know, you're getting business from it, you can get really addicted to just constantly posting or being on there. So I've had to try and be a bit more conscious of not being on there all the time either. I think too, like a lot of people create their own business because they're innately feeling like it's going to help to heal their own traumas or unresolved issues as well. Like we've often talked about Little Window being our own therapy space. You know, it's a way for us to be in this environment that we feel is healing and comforting. So in a way, it's also helped us to grow and to be more ourselves, the creative extension of us, but it also has the dark side of feeling like it, you know, you're just constantly in it. So I don't know if I've explained that very well, but it's multifaceted, you know. I can't imagine doing any other kind of work or working for anyone else now, but then sometimes it can feel like, how do I look after myself when I'm in this? And even as psychologists, you know, we both have our own issues and things that we're working on in our personal lives, and both of us have decided to go to therapy just to help with, you know, all sorts of different things, including being business owners. So I think that's a really important part of keeping ourselves in check, going to supervision, going to therapy, trying to separate yourself from work when you're home and being a bit more present with your family. Just being aware and having conversations about it helps. But I think if you're, you know, if you're physically unwell too, it is a danger. It's a bit of a trap, I think. If you have your own business, you can use it as a way to avoid what's happening in your real life. It can be a good distraction. So it's really good to be aware of how you're engaging with your business if you have personal things going on in your life, for sure.
Thank you. You just touched on so many beautiful little tips there.
Yeah. That's a very relevant question for me at the moment. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I can't believe we're out of time already.
Yes, that hour went really quickly. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Naomi just said, I really love this honesty and realness in the experience of it all and the tips too. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Naomi.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing so much with us and, being and raw and...
Yep. Thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. We're getting lots of, thank you so much. Really enjoyed that. Thanks for the lovely call. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks so much, everyone.
Wonderful. So nice to, to hear a little bit more about the behind the scenes of your business too, because I didn't know quite a bit of that.
Yeah. That's not something you talk about every day. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Yeah, I'm happy. If anyone wants to contact me directly to ask questions, I'm happy to answer them. So you can just contact us, you know, and I can continue sharing if there's anything in particular that someone wants to know.
Okay, thank you. That's really generous of you.
Yeah. You've got my direct email, so I'm happy for you to share that with people.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so Amanda. Much, thanks, Naomi. Thanks, everyone.
And thanks you everyone too. Else for joining too. Thanks for being here and asking such beautiful questions as well.
Have a good night. Have a good sleep, everyone.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.